Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I feel like I'm constantly reminding myself that we are all carrying around different stressors, big and small. But when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. And naturally, that can start to affect everything else around us too. Therapy can be a safe place to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. I know that therapy isn't for everyone, but it definitely has benefited me in the past with learning how to sit with my feelings, set boundaries with people, and I don't know, learn how to function with a little less shame. But if you are thinking of starting therapy and access has been hard for you, maybe BetterHelp is the right fit. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient. You can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/makeyourbed today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/makeyourbed. Oh, good morning, sunshine. Welcome to another day of the Make Your Damn Bed podcast. Today, we're jumping back into week four, Recovering a Sense of Integrity, in the book The Artist's Way, written by Julia Cameron. She starts this section with an exercise called Buried Dreams. She says, as recovering creatives, we often have to excavate our own pasts for the shards of buried dreams and delights. Do a little digging, please. Be fast and frivolous. This is an exercise in spontaneity, so be sure to write your answers out quickly. Speed kills the censor. 1. List 5 hobbies that sound fun. 2. List 5 classes that sound fun. 3. List 5 things you personally would never do that sound fun. 4. List 5 things that would be fun to have. 5. List 5 things that you used to enjoy doing. 6. List 5 silly things you would like to try once. She goes on to say that basically the point of a lot of these exercises is to approach your problem from different angles, ideally so we can elicit more information from our unconscious about what we might consciously enjoy or be suppressing. Now, this next task I'm going to share with you from week four is a big reason most of my friends end up bailing on the artist's way in general. It is a challenge, for sure, and it's one that I've never been able to fully commit to, especially considering we now have the internet and not just newspapers. But I'll share the challenge and let you take from it what you can get, because I do think there's value in the concepts and the motivation behind it, at the very least. So this section and exercise is all about reading deprivation. She says, if you feel stuck in your life or in your art, she says not much can jumpstart you more effectively than a week of reading deprivation. No reading? Yeah, that's right, no reading. For most artists, words are like tiny tranquilizers. We have a daily quota of media chat that we swallow up. Like greasy food, it clogs our system. Too much of it, and we feel, well, fried. It's a paradox that by emptying our lives of distractions, we are actually filling the well. Without distractions, we are once again thrust into the sensory world. With no newspaper to shield us, a train becomes a viewing gallery. With no novel to sink into, and no television to numb us out, An evening becomes a vast savanna in which furniture and other assumptions get rearranged. Reading deprivation casts us into our inner silence, a space some of us have begun to immediately fill with new words, long gossipy conversations, television binging, the radio as a constant chatty companion. We often can't hear our own inner voice, the voice of our artist's inspiration, above the static. In practicing reading deprivation, we need to cast a watchful eye on the other pollutants. They poison the well. If we monitor the inflow and keep it to a minimum, we will be rewarded for our reading deprivation with embarrassing speed. Our reward will be a new outflow, our own art, our own thoughts, our own feelings. They will begin to nudge aside the sludge of blockage or loosen it and move it upward and outward until once again, our well is running freely. Reading deprivation is a very powerful tool and a very frightening one. Even thinking about it can bring up enormous rage. For many blocked creatives, reading is an addiction. We gobble the words of others rather than digest our own thoughts and feelings, rather than cook up something of our own. She mentions that this week is always one of the toughest, and she mentions that many of her students at this point will not only get angry, but argue that they are a very busy person with duties and obligations that include reading. And she mentions that when she was in college, she didn't need excuses to get out of reading due to procrastination. As blocked creatives, it's our job to get creative at how to wriggle out of things. She lists a bunch of things we can do instead of reading, like listening to music or knitting or cooking or rewiring the lamp or watercolor or washing the dog or rearranging the kitchen or sorting bookshelves or going dancing or mending or getting the stereo working or having dinner with friends or paying bills or writing old friends or repotting your plants. But where I find it valuable is she says the nasty bottom line is this. Sooner or later, if you are not reading, you will run out of work and be forced to play. You'll get bored enough to light some incense and put on an old jazz record and start painting that shelf turquoise just because. Now, naturally, when we hear that, we hear, okay, I go a week without reading the newspaper. But it's not the 90s anymore, and for me, this really comes down to a phone detox. And I don't detox everything, because unfortunately, unlike Julia Cameron's students, I can't wriggle out of my emails, because I still need to pay my bills, and my job will not appreciate me doing a creative thing. However, I do like to take this time to be more conscious with the information that I'm ingesting. So instead of picking up a book, or turning on the TV, or scrolling my phone, I do think there is value in spending a week doing anything else. That said, it is easier said than done, especially considering she wrote this before we all had a computer in our pockets with endless entertainment on it. But that's not to say that a phone addiction isn't real and that we should all probably detox from that. So this week is especially hard. This week is especially frustrating, but she's not wrong in saying that there is so much value in letting your brain have time to think and be a brain and not just filled with everyone else's words. As someone who is constantly listening to music or podcasts or TV just in the background, it is something that I think about a lot. And when I'm my most depressed and my least in touch with my creative self, that is when I do not want any blank space or blank time for thinking. That is when I'm constantly filling it with other people's thoughts. And it's not something I think I would have recognized without previously considering this task explicitly. This chapter finishes out with her regularly scheduled task suggestions that aren't an entire week of reading deprivation, but I'll read those to you now before we jump into week 5. 1. Environment. Describe your ideal environment. Is it in the country or in a city? Is it swanky or cozy? Write a paragraph or draw an image or make a collage of a vibe that conveys it. What's your favorite season? Why? Place this vibe or this environment in your working area. 2. Time travel. Describe yourself at 80. What did you do after 50 that you enjoyed? Be very specific. Now write a letter from you at 80 to you now at your current age. What would you tell yourself? What interests would you urge yourself to pursue? What dreams would you encourage? 3. Time travel. Remember yourself at 8. What did you like to do? What were your favorite things? Again, write a letter from yourself at 8 to you at your current age. What is it that you would like to tell yourself now? 4. Environment. Look around your house. Is there any room or space that you could make into a secret private space for yourself? Could you convert the TV area or buy a screen and have a sheet hanging that cords off a section of another room? This can be your dream area. It should be decorated for fun, not for an office or functionality. All you really need is a chair or a pillow, something to write on, maybe a little altar for flowers and candles. But this is ideally to help you center on the fact that your creativity is a spirituality issue, not an ego one. 5. Use your life pie from week 1, that circle where we put our dots to measure, to actually review your growth. Has that nasty tarantula changed shape at all? Have you become more active, less rigid, more expressive? Be careful not to expect too much too soon. Growth needs time to solidify. But one day at a time, you are building habit patterns of a healthy artist. Easy does it. List ongoing self-nurturing toys that you could buy your artist. Books on tape, magazine subscriptions, theater tickets, a new bowling ball. Another suggested task this week is to take yourself on an extended artist date, maybe a full weekend. Or open your closet and throw out or donate or hand off one outfit that is a low self-worth outfit, so you can make some space for the new. Another suggested task is to look at one situation in your life that you feel you should change, but you haven't yet. What is the payoff for you in staying stuck? And the 10th, if you break your reading deprivation, write about how you did it. Was it in a tantrum, a slip-up, a binge? And write about how you felt about it and why. Tomorrow, we'll jump into week 5 as we cruise on through the artist's way. In the meantime, I want you to know I love you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow while you make your damn bed. Goodbye, beautiful.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flimsy stains slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last, designed to impress.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.